Psalms 91, in my opinion, is probably the most comforting and powerful messages in the Bible. And it speaks on a time where people did not feel safe in everyday life. Back then, danger was not something rare or unexpected. It was something people faced constantly. There was wars happening, disease spreading quickly without real treatment, wild animals that could attack at any time, and general sense of uncertainty about the future. People did not have the kind of security systems, healthcare, or stability that we often rely on today. So life could feel very fragile and unpredictable. That is what makes this psalm so meaningful and powerful. It does not ignore the reality that life can be dangerous and difficult, but instead it points to something greater than all of that, which is God's presence and protection. It reminds us that even when life feels out of control and overwhelming, God is steady and dependable and unchanging. No matter what is happening around you or what you're going through personally, he is still there, close to you, walking with you and holding everything together, even when it feels like it's falling apart. So let's dig into the psalm. So verse one, it says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." This is just not a nice, comforting sentence that you can read and move on seconds later. It's actually talking about how you choose to live your life on a daily basis. When it says live in the shelter, it is not talking about going to God once in a while when things go wrong or when you are desperate for help. It's talking about staying close to him at all times in every part of your life. Think about it like your home. You do not only go home when something bad happens. You live there. You return to it every day. It is where you feel safe and comfortable. That is the kind of relationship this verse is describing. Living in God's shelter means you choosing him daily. You're talking to him, thinking about him, trusting him in your decisions, including him in your life, not just when things are hard, but also think when times are good. It becomes a constant, steady relationship, not something you only turn to as a last option. When it says you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty, the word rest is really important, obviously, because it means peace on the inside. Even when life around you feels stressful, confusing, or overwhelming, the idea of being in someone's shadow shows closeness. You cannot be in someone's shadow and be far away. You need to be right beside them. So it's really saying the closer you are, the closer you stay to God, the more you will experience that deep peace. It's something you earn by having everything It's not something you earn by having everything together. It is something that comes from being close to him. And then verse 2 says, "This I declare with the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him." This is where things become very personal and real. The writer is no longer just speaking generally about God. He's making a personal statement of what he believes and how he lives. It is like he is saying that it's not just something I've heard, it's something I actually believe on and rely on. When he calls God his refuge, it means God is the place he runs to when life gets hard. when he feels overwhelmed, stressed, or afraid, he's not running to everything else first, and then going to God as a last option. He is going straight to God. A refuge is somewhere safe where everything else feels unstable or like it's falling apart. Then he says, "My place of safety," which shows it's not just a temporary escape. It's somewhere where you can settle, breathe, and feel secure even when everything around you is chaotic. The word "alone" is also very important because it shows that God is not just one of many options. He is the only option. He is the main one. A lot of people try to solve everything on their own or turn to other things before God. But this verse is showing that God should be the first place to go, not the backup plan. When he says, "He is my God," it shows that this relationship is personal, not just something he knows about, but something he actually lives in. And when he says, "I trust in him," that is what everything comes down to. Trust is not something you say. It shows up on how you respond to any situation. It really makes you think about where you go first when you're stressed or afraid, because whatever you run to first is what you trust the most, and that should be God in every scenario in your life. Moving on to verse 3. It says, "For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease." This verse talks about two kinds of problems. that people deal with in their regular life, the ones you do not see coming, and the ones that you cannot control. When the author talks about a trap, he's describing something hidden, something that's not obvious at first. It could be a situation that looks good but slowly leads you in the wrong direction, or a pressure from other people that really cause you to make decisions you regret later. The hard part about traps is that you usually do not realize you're in one until it's way, way too late and you fall. But then it talks about deadly disease, which is very different. It's not always sudden. It can be something that develops over time and feels completely out of your control. It represents those moments in your life where you feel helpless. There's nothing you can do to fix what's happening. When you put these two together, the author is showing that God is aware of both kinds of struggles. He sees what you cannot see, and he understands what you cannot control. He's already ahead of you, though, even when you feel unsure about what's coming next. That does not mean nothing's bad will ever happen, but it does mean that you're not going to go through it alone. God is with you, guiding you, protecting you, and giving your strength in ways you may not even notice at the time. Instead of constantly worrying about what could go wrong, you can have the confidence that God already knows what's happening and is taking care of you behind the scenes. You might not just notice it yet. And then verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promise are your armor and protection. This verse, very powerful. It paints a very powerful picture, but also a comforting one. The author is comparing God to like a mother hen, protecting its babies, keeping them close under its wing, where they are safe and cared for. It shows a kind of protection that is personal, gentle, and close. It reminds you that God is not distant or disconnected from your life. He's right there. He's right beside you, watching you, over you, and taking care of you. When it feels overwhelming or unsafe, this image shows that God is like a covering over you, surrounding you with his presence. But then the verse shifts and says his promises are like armor. This is obviously a completely different image. It goes from the gentle hen to something you wear going into a tough battle. It's what protects you when things get intense and difficult. This shows that God is not only gentle and caring, but also strong and able to protect you in the middle of life's hardest moments. His word is not just something nice to read or hear. It's something that actually strengthens you and helps you stand firm when everything around you feels unstable. His promises remind you of what is true, even when your feelings or circumstances try and tell you something different. So this verse shows both sides. God comforts you like a parent, like a mother hen, but he also strengthens you like an armor in a fight, and he's fully capable of protecting you. And then verse 5 and 6. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. These verses are talking about fear in every part of life, both the fear that you can see and the ones you cannot. Now you can feel heavy because your mind starts to race and everything you are worried about feels bigger in the dark. You can think about things that could go wrong, things that you regret, or things you cannot control. It can feel lonely, and fear can feel stronger because you cannot see it clearly, and there's no one there to protect you because you're by yourself in the dark. And then during the day, the fears are different. They're right in front of you, things like pressure, stress, problems with people, or situations you have to face directly. The verse uses the image of an arrow because of the kind of problems can hit you quickly and unexpectedly, just like an arrow being shot at you. It also talks about disease and disaster, which represent things that feel completely out of your control. What this really is saying is that fear can come at any time and in many different forms. It does not have control over your life. It is not pretending fear is not real, because it is, but it's reminding you that God is greater than whatever you are facing. So even when your mind is racing at night, or when you're dealing with stress during the day, you can still have a peace. You can still have peace because you know God is with you. He's right beside you. He's inside you. He's all around you. You don't have to worry because he's got your back. Then verse 7, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. This paints a picture of chaos and things are going wrong all around you. It feels overwhelming, like everything falling apart and there's no way out. The numbers are not meant to be exact, obviously, they're a metaphor, but they're just showing how things can be big and intense in any situation. And this kind of is the kind of moment where it would be easy to panic or feel completely hopeless. But in the middle of that, the author has still confidence in God's protection. So should we. When it says these evils will not touch you, it's not saying that you'll never go through anything difficult. Life is still going to have challenges and hard moments. But it's saying that you're not alone in any of these situations and that God is still in control even when everything feels out of control. It is about having peace in the middle of the storm, not just about when everything is calm. It is trusting God is still working and still present, even when things around you feel chaotic and uncertain. And then moving on to verse 8, it says, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are being punished. So this verse is a reminder to step back and really look at what is happening. Sometimes it feels like people who do wrong are getting away with it, and that like that can be frustrating and confusing. It can make you feel angry or bitter, but the author is reminding us that God sees everything, nothing is hidden from him, and nothing goes unnoticed. Even if justice does not happen right away, it does not mean God is ignoring it. He's a just God. He will deal with it in his time and in the right way. This helps you not carry that frustration or try to take things into your own hands. When we try and fix everything ourselves, it usually just creates more and more problems and we're digging our own grave. This verse is encouraging because we need to put our trust in God instead. It is a reminder that you do not carry all the weight yourself. When everything feels unfair, God sees it and he will handle it in his own way, in his own timing. And then verse 9 and 10, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. This shows that there is a choice involved. It says you make the Lord your refuge. It means something you decide to do, which I'm sure most of us in this room have decided to put our trust in God daily, not just when it's convenient or when things go wrong. Making God your refuge means you go to him first, not last. When you're stressed, confused, or worried, he is the one you turn to instead of trying to carry everything on your own. When you live like that, it changes your perspective. You're not constantly overthinking or worrying about everything that might happen. You begin to trust God is in control. Even when life feels uncertain, this does not mean life will be perfect or nothing bad will ever happen, as I've already said multiple times, but it does mean that these things do not have the same power over you. They do not take away your peace or break you in the same way. Fear might still show up, but it does not control you because your trust is in God and your faith is in God. Moving on to verse 11 and 12. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you will not hurt your foot on the stone. This just shows that God is involved in every little step of your life. And not just the big moments, but the small details too, when you avoid stubbing your toe on your bedpost or something like that. He's not distant or unaware. He is paying attention to what is happening in your life. The idea that if angels protecting you reminds you that there is more going on than what you can see. God is working behind the scenes, protecting you from things that you might not even realize could have happened. The details about not even hurting your foot show how specific and personal God's care is. It is like he's saying, I care about even the small things of your life at the same time, that it's not about being careless or expecting nothing bad will ever happen. It's about having a quiet confidence that God is with you and watching over you as you go through life. And then verse 13, you will trample upon lions and cobras, you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. These animals are real dangers at the time, obviously, but they also represent fear, evil, and challenges in life. The author is saying that with God's help, those things do not have power over you the way that you might think. You're not just trying to survive. You're able to stand strong and face what comes in your way because you have the armor that God has given you. There will be things in life that feel overwhelming and scary, but this verse reminds you that you're not facing them alone. God gives you strength, courage, and wisdom to deal with them. Fear might still be there, but it does not control you. It does not win. And then moving on to the last section of verses from 14 to 16. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. This brings everything back to a relationship. It's not about protection. It's about knowing God, loving him, and trusting him. These promises are for people who have that connection with him. One of the most important parts is when God says, I will be with them in trouble. He's not saying you will never go through hard things, but he is promising that you will never go through them alone. When you call on him, he hears you and responds. He is present with you, helping you and guiding you through whatever you are facing. It also talks about a long life and salvation, which goes beyond just this moment. It points to a full life lived with God and future with him. At the end of the day, the greatest promise here is not just protection. It is belonging, knowing that you are his and that he is with you. That gives you a kind of peace that nothing else can or will. So in conclusion, Psalm 91 is not just about being protected from bad things. It is about building your life around God and staying close to him every day. It's about choosing to trust him in every situation, whether things are going well or falling apart. Life will still have challenges, and there still will be moments where you feel afraid or unsure. But this psalm reminds you that you're never alone in those moments. God is always with you, guiding you, protecting you, and giving you peace when everything else feels uncertain. The closer you stay to him, the more you will experience that peace and the confidence in your life. It is an invitation to stop trying to handle everything on your own, but instead walk through life with God, knowing he is in control and that you can trust him no matter what. That is it. I have a few discussion questions that we can carry on to. What does it practically mean in your daily life to live in the shelter of the Most High instead of only turning to God when in difficult moments? And then verse 2 talks about God being a refuge and a place of safety. Where do people today usually run for safety or comfort before they turn to God? And then in verse 4, probably my favorite verse, the author uses two different images to describe God. He is a mother hen, but also gives you the armor of God. How they point to God's character?